We're going to begin a short series of the Good Shepherd, which is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. And we're going to read the first 10 verses as we go into this portion of Scripture. John 10, 1 through 10. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Verily, verily," which means of a truth. It's an emphasis word of a truth. This is true. Pay attention. "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, in chapter 9, previous to this passage, the Apostle John recorded that Jesus had made a blind man whole. You know, when Jesus Christ was around, everybody saw. He touched the blind man's eyes, made clay with his own spittle, put that on the blind man's eyes, and the eyes of the blind man were made whole. Now, this Jewish man was not only given physical sight, but he was given spiritual sight by believing that on Jesus Christ, and in so doing, he left the fold of Israel and joined the fold of the Good Shepherd. You know, that's what you want to do. You want to join the fold of the Good Shepherd, because the Good Shepherd careth for the sheep. So here we see Jesus as the great storyteller. And in this chapter, he chooses to bring his listeners to remember King David's psalm about God being the shepherd of his life, the shepherd in whom he shall not want, which means all his needs will be supplied. And when you read that passage, it's kind of a shame that that passage is read so often at funerals, because it's a passage of life. It's not a passage of death, it's a passage of life, because it tells us that there is a good shepherd who cares for the sheep and provides for their wants. But David knew that all we like sheep have gone astray. David knew that because men were like sheep, they will therefore all be under a shepherd. You know, all men are under a shepherd. Did you know that? All men are like sheep, and sheep always desire a shepherd. Men, you look around and you see how people group think, how they group together, how they mass together for fellowship and all kinds of activity. People are sheep, and they all need a shepherd. It will be a shepherd supplied by Satan or a shepherd supplied by God. Now, David chose God's shepherd, and therefore he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's what I said 40-some years ago when I was saved. I said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Before, the world was my shepherd. Satan was my shepherd. I went the way of the broad way, but now I'm on the narrow way, and this is where my shepherd leads me. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherds and sheep, folds, go together. So Jesus, in this simple story, understandable by all who wish to understand, now compares the Jewish fold to his flock. He calls us to picture a sheepfold, which is an enclosed area of thorn bushes or stone designed to protect the sheep by keeping them together. This is part of the protecting hand of God to take his sheep and put them in a place of protection. Each village had a sheepfold that was the common property of all the local shepherds, and it was usually enclosed by a very high wall, sometimes 10 to 12 feet high, perhaps made out of foliage or thorn bushes or stone, but it was a high wall designed to keep out those who wished to do harm to the sheep. As night fell, shepherds would lead their flocks into the sheepfold. My, you know, how we've gone away in our industrial world, in our technical world, from these beautiful scenes that you see of the sheep going into the sheepfold. You know, you go to some of the less developed countries and you travel around the roads of the less developed countries. Well, you may be hindered by the sheep going down the road. They've got the right of way. And you see the beautiful things in the fields, the cows grazing in the fields, and you see the beautiful things that God has created when you're out in his creation. But as night fell, shepherds would lead their flocks into the sheepfold. The shepherds would then go to their homes, leaving their sheep in the care of a porter who would protect the sheep against thieves and robbers. In the morning, each shepherd would return and call his sheep by name, and they would respond to his voice, and he would lead them out to pasture. Now, if you have a pet, did you know that pet knows your voice? Oh, if a stranger calls that pet, come here, Fido. Oh, that Fido will bark at that person, because that's not the master's voice. There used to be an RCA dog who said, He was looking at the phonograph with the long horn coming out. In the old days, they had that long amplifying horn, and the dog was looking at the amplifying horn, and the caption was, he hears his master's voice. They were able to record his master's voice, and he was puzzled. That doesn't look like my master, but he recognized his master's voice. But the shepherd did not need to round them up by the use of a sheepdog to bark at their heels. He did not drive them, he led them. Oh, how we need leadership. Oh, how we need pastors who will lead. Oh, how we need politicians and statesmen who will lead. We're looking for leaders. The world is looking for a leader, and the leader will come. The leader will rise up and say, I can solve all these problems, and the sheep will follow because they have not the shepherd that we know. But he went before them, and they followed him because they knew him and trusted him. His sheep knew and heard his voice. Remember how Jesus told Matthew to follow him, and Matthew got up and followed Jesus. And Zacchaeus, he said, make haste and come down. And Zacchaeus came down from the tree, and he made haste. Today you're going to dine in my house, Zacchaeus said. And he said, Philip, follow me, and Lazarus, come forth. He called his sheep. So our Lord Jesus was leading his sheep out of the fold of Judaism. It was out of the fold that constricted, the fold that used the sheep. Oh, how religion uses the sheep. You get a man that rises up, he's charismatic. He uses the sheep. He doesn't feed the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. He uses the sheep for his own power. But the Lord brought these out of that fold, the fold that used the sheep, the fold that had self-interest and not the sheep's welfare. Do you know God's interested in your welfare? My God loves me. My God cares for me. My God looks out for me, and he'll look out for me all eternally. I'm looking forward to that. I don't have many years left. I may have 10 years, I may have 20 years, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I have 10 years or 20 years. I'm looking forward to meeting the Lord, to meeting the shepherd. Why? Because he's looking out for me. and he looks out for my interest. Now the man born blind, who now had been given sight, recognized the voice of Jesus and was now his devoted follower. He was one of the called, and he was one of the justified. You know, we stand before God and the Lord says, I've justified this one. Come on in. You're justified. He has the blood of Christ taking away his sins. He was one of those who was given the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Why? Because the Lord was his shepherd. He was in the new fold of the Lord. For the shepherd tells us in John 10, 5 and 6, and a stranger will they not follow. You know, there's been voices I've heard in the last 40 years. Come and follow me. Come and go with me. I haven't gone because that wasn't the good shepherd. It wasn't the voice of the shepherd. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now this is a very important principle. This is a mark of all the sheep of Christ. They will not follow a false teacher. If someone's following a false teacher, they're not of the sheep of the shepherd. They will not give themselves over to a strange shepherd. Instead, they will flee from him because they know the voice of their shepherd and know that the false shepherd's voice is not their shepherd's voice. Here's the voice of Christ. Do you know the voice of Christ? Do you get in here and say, I hear it. Yes, I hear that. I hear that, shepherd. I can hear your voice. And you know his voice because you read his word. The sheep of Christ are discerning sheep. You know, you're here today to be able to be discerning. You have to weigh the issues. You have to check. There's subtle voices out there. Is that the voice of our Lord? No, that's not right. That's not the voice of our Lord, because the voice of our Lord wouldn't say that. This is what the voice of our Lord says. So we're discerning sheep. Jesus tells us here that it is not possible to deceive the elect of God, the sheep of God. But they, who's they? The Pharisees, understood not. Well, what does that reveal? What does that reveal about the Pharisees? They weren't of the shepherd. They were false witnesses. They weren't in the fold of Christ. They understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. They were not as sheep. That's right there. It's amazing how that's put right there. If you're not of the fold of the shepherd, you won't understand the shepherd. You won't hear the voice. You won't know the voice. If they were, they would have been given the spirit of discernment. You're given the spirit of discernment. Your eyes are open. The blind man now can see. You know, it's amazing. You think about being blind, maybe born blind. Now you can feel things, you can touch things, and your mind maybe imagines, what does that mean? Because you haven't seen anything, but you can feel things. And then all of a sudden, this whole world is opened unto you because you've been made with sight. Now that's what happens when you're born again. This whole new world is opened up to you, this world of discernment, this world of believing in the Word of God. This whole new eternal world opens up to you because now you're in the fold of the Good Shepherd. Those who are not his sheep are unable to understand the truth even when it is plainly presented to them. Have you had that discussion with an unbeliever? Why can't you understand? You shake them. I mean, you know, you maybe not literally shake them, but in your mind you shake them. Why can't you understand? Because they don't have eyes to see. You get eyes to see through faith. And unless faith enters into the transaction, you're blind. I mean, it's like going up to a blind man. Can't you see this tree? Can't you see my face? No, I'm blind. I have to be made whole. But they were blind and deaf to this simple allegory. The fold, the door, the sheep, the shepherd were all strange to them. They were so imbued with their religion, so imbued with all of their regulations and rules. They honored all of these things, and they kept all these things, and pride lifted up in their minds, which darkened the door of discernment. They were trained in the best schools of the day, but they were not born again into the family of God. The word of God was sealed to them. That's the way it is. God does not open the door to those that are blind and desire to stay blind. You must be born again. You know, men may gain the world's knowledge by their efforts, but knowledge of God is by God's grace, and that grace is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. You know, there's a lot of professors of the Word that don't know the Word. They know this, they can read this. Oh yes, I understand. But they don't know Christ. Salvation is a personal relationship with the God-man Jesus Christ. Now in John 10:7, Jesus continues, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." I'm the door. Of a truth, Jesus proclaims a truth that enlightens his sheep. Not only does he call his sheep and they hear his voice, but he tells them that he is the door of the sheep. That's strange, isn't it? I'm the door of the sheep. That's kind of strange. He is not the door of the sheepfold, but he is the door of the sheep. His sheep. He is the door that secures, the door that opens and gives access to wonderful things. He is the way out of the fold of dead religion into life everlasting. He is the way to green pastures. David said, "He taketh me into green pastures." Don't you love when it rains and the grass gets green? It's such a depressing thing to go through a drought and you see things yellowed and you see things not lifted up and not bright and happy. Even the grass can be happy. You kind of get a happiness to the grass when the rains come. It's expressed in the grass. It's laughing. "Oh, I love this rain," the grass says, and the trees rejoice. But Jesus Christ is the way to green pastures. He is the way to still waters. He's the door to those. He is the way to paths of righteousness, and he is the way to goodness and mercy. He affirms that he is the way. There is not a way. He is not a way, because a way means there's other ways. He is the way. He is not some proven steps or procedure that men may take, but he personally is the way, the door of the sheep. The sheep must go through him to access life, true spiritual, God-centered life. There's no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved, right? No other name. Very absolute. Oh, you go out and tell the world that, oh, you're a bigot. What's the matter with you? There's many ways. Jesus Christ declares one way. He declares that he's the door. And he compares the true shepherd with those only in sheep's clothing in John 10:8. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." All the religions of the world, they raise their standard. Jesus Christ points at them. Thieves and robbers. Buddhism rises. Thieves and robbers. Islam rises. Thieves and robbers. Allah is false. But that's what Jesus Christ declares. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So Jesus Christ continues to use strong language. He's clear about this. There's no, I was going to use the word mollycoddling, but I don't think that applies. But there's no softening of the word. He does not couch terms in order to gain friends and supporters. He's not using the sheep to gain friends and supporters. All that ever came before Jesus Christ includes false messiahs and self-appointed teachers, Pharisees and scribes. These were not interested in the welfare of the sheep. You know, our pastor has a responsibility as a under-shepherd to be interested in the welfare of the congregation, the welfare of the sheep. Pastors aren't to use the sheep. They're to be interested in the welfare of the sheep. They're to love the sheep. They're to call them by name. But these false shepherds were sons of the first thief, the devil, who climbed into God's fold. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. He said, well, that wall's pretty high, but I can slither over. He climbed into God's fold, not through the door, but by other means. Being thieves and robbers, they are motivated by self-interest. For example, the rabbis substituted tradition for truth. Oh, how prevalent that is. Tradition for truth. This is the way we do it. Yeah, but it doesn't go according to the shepherd's voice. Well, that's a matter of interpretation. We've always done it this way. How can you question it? What are you, some smart aleck? It's always aleck that's smart. But they substituted tradition for truth. They substituted the Talmud for the Torah, the oral law, and the inspired written law. They stole the key of knowledge, and not only did not come in themselves, but hindered others from coming to God. They hindered others. I remember that story that Dr. Hobbs told about the girl that hindered her boyfriend from going forward. She was of the devil, hindered others. Oh, don't hinder others from coming to God. If you don't want to come to God, don't stand in the way. But they entered intrusively, clandestinely, under the mask of religion. But they are ravenous wolves, the Bible says. Ravenous wolves, ready to take their prey and destroy it. But we're told here by Christ our shepherd, the true sheep will not hear them. The true sheep hear the shepherd's voice, but they will not hear the voice of the false shepherds. This is a mark. This is a mark of the sheep, of the true sheep. How often we find severe denunciations of false teachers in the scriptures. And we'll go into that next week, Lord willing. Maybe the Lord will call us this week. What will he say? Come up hither. And boy, when he commands his sheep go up hither, it might be this week. Maybe not, but it could be. There's nothing hindering the shepherd from calling his sheep. Father, we are thankful for your goodness and your mercy, your kindness to us. Lord, we know we're sheep. We're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. But we know that you'll go out and find us and bring us back into the fold. We're so thankful, Father, that we have a fold here at Grace Bible Church, Grace Bible Sunday School. We're thankful, Father, that we can fellowship with other sheep and enjoy hearing the voice of the shepherd. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.